Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I have been on a series for many weeks now, and it's on presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence of God. And the actual title to this morning's message is Seeing 360. Having a 360 panoramic view. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that good? Yeah, I like that. Seeing 360, because all of us, and our natural tendency, is we see things the way we see things. And it's like I always tell my wife, if I thought my opinion was wrong, I would change it. But I think my opinion is right, so that's my opinion. But so often, as we potentially season, I'm not going to say grow older because that doesn't sound right. As we season in life, hopefully our vantage point doesn't go like this, but it goes like this. That we are convinced of the things we're convinced of, but we're learners. We're teachable. We are soft of heart. And Lord, help me understand things that I don't understand. And one of the things with my dad, who's gone on to be the Lord, I think he passed in 2016. He was a very intelligent man, great guy, wonderful dad. But it just seemed like the older he got, the smaller his world got, much, much smaller. And he became more curmudgeonly. That's a good word for some of us. Grumpy, crusty, something like that. And he just got so opinionated and so fixed. And if something didn't fit into his worldview, that's wrong. And he blamed whatever the current president was for hurricanes, tsunamis, famine in that part of the world. That's the president's fault. I'm like, Dad, no. So it's having the ability to say, Jesus, I'm teachable. I want to continue seeing things through your filter, from your perspective, not just mine. Because we all have perspectives. We all have our own history and our own filter that we look through. So I'm going to talk about 360 a little bit this morning. And it's going to be a different message, I think, for many of you who've been here for a while. You're going to hear maybe a different angle this morning. Some of you go, hallelujah, thank you. And some of you wait till I'm done to give your vote then. But this last week, my wife and I were privileged to participate in a believer's celebration service. And it was a wonderful man. He was a dad of somebody here. And we had the celebration service on, I believe it was a Friday here. And then on Monday, his remains were actually taken to Jefferson Barracks. He was a veteran. And is that a motorcycle? Mm-hmm. How appropriate. On Monday, in this celebration, there was a motorcycle motorcade from the funeral home in Chesterfield all the way out to Jefferson Barracks. And it was, I don't know how many, 12 motorcycles, maybe more. And I think they're called Patriot Riders. I forget what the actual, but I think it was Patriot Riders. And I've been privileged to be part of several of those down at Jefferson Barracks over the years, where the Patriot Riders, these motorcycle riders. And I'm sorry, I should have investigated more. I don't think they're employed. I think they just serve veterans and honor veterans. And so it was, I don't know how many cars were in the line, 30, 40, 50 cars, I don't remember. But these motorcycle riders buzz ahead and they stop at intersections and make everybody, the cross traffic stop. And to watch these people, sorry, I'm spitting, I'll go over here. I'll go for dry patch here. These motorcyclists would buzz ahead, stop traffic, and while the intersection we passed previously, that motorcyclist would buzz ahead, and two or three of these motorcycles are at each intersection. I'm not going to cry. It was honor. An honor for a man who served his country. It was honor. And as I'm driving, I'm just watching. These guys, I'm sure these motorcycle people, there's a couple of ladies, so I didn't say guys, gender neutral. These people, I don't believe they're paid. I have no idea. But they're doing it to honor someone else, to serve, to be a blessing. And maybe it was just the way I was raised. But for me, honor is such a high value in my life. And when I see dishonor, it just cuts deep inside of me. Honor, reverence, respect. To me, there they are. There's the patriot on cue. Thank you, Jesus. I was deeply moved at this celebration, the whole part. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. To me, it was honor, respect, and beautiful. And I've just been thinking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, thinking about this morning in this series on presence and the ability to see 360 is seeing the whole picture, not just the keyhole that I tend to look through. Can I see the whole picture? Am I interested in the whole picture? And I think what we see so often happening right now in our country is people who only see this much and they attack and kill what they don't understand. And that is our culture, that's the kingdom of this world, but it's not the kingdom of Jesus. Is to see the whole picture. And even when I disagree with you, I can act honorably towards you. I can treat you with honor. Maybe even especially when I disagree as a kingdom person. It's easy to honor what I love, but can I show honor towards what I don't understand? What's different? What's unusual to me? And when I think of honor, I think of Jesus, who laid aside all his honor, all his princeliness, all his kingship. He laid it all down to come and serve and to give his honor to others. And Jesus for us, many of us will know if you've had a relationship with Jesus for a while, Jesus is our friend. He is our Savior and he is our brother. And all of us would know, and I've talked about those over this series for many weeks, about he is our friend, he is our brother. But this morning I want to look at maybe two or three other aspects that we haven't honed in on quite as much. Jesus is also God Almighty. And Jesus is also holy. Perfectly holy. And we live in a world that is not. And I would say the world we live in is unholy and dishonorable. But Jesus is God Almighty. He is perfectly holy. He defines holiness. He is righteous. And Jesus is the eternal King. And it seems a juxtaposition. It seems opposed. It seems something total opposite from Jesus as our friend. And John 15, and this is a scripture we've looked at. John 15, just three verses real quick. Verse 12 to 15. Four verses. This is what the Bible says. And this is what we tend to gravitate towards in our church world in this country. John 15. This is what's familiar to us. This is my commandment. This is Jesus speaking. That you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. That one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer, this is the part we're going to, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is our friend. Why? Because he said so. But he is, if I can say this with all reverence, 360, he is far more than just my friend. He is far more than just your friend. It is an aspect of who he is, an aspect. Amen. To my wife's chagrin, I participate in fantasy football. There will be no fantasy football in heaven, so I'm enjoying now. And one of the teams in a fantasy football league that I'm in is the man upstairs. The name of his team is the man upstairs. I thought that's an odd name. Yes, probably a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's okay. Steven's not here. It's all right. But there's just a phrase, and many of us would have heard it when you're talking to people about Jesus or you hear something about it, and somebody will just offhandedly say, "Oh yeah, me and the man upstairs, we got a deal. We got to relate. We got an understanding." And I always want to say, "No, you don't." Doubtful. As soon as I hear those words, the man upstairs, to me, it almost denotes something. And again, in my judgy world, and I've said many times, I have a very strong judgy world. I'm repenting and changing of it, but I do. He's not the man upstairs. Right. He is the Lord God Almighty.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
He's not my buddy. He is my friend. He's not my pal, but he's the holy, righteous, anointed one. Yeah. He's not just my bud that I hang with on Sunday mornings. It just sounds so over-familiar and very non-churchy religious, if I can say that. And if you use those phrases, it's okay. Continue. But Jesus is so much more. In Romans 6:34, one that we don't talk about a lot, Romans 6:34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, he is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us.
Yeah,
he is our mediator. We don't need saints. We don't need angels. Jesus does it as part of his ongoing purpose for eternity while we're here. Well, not for eternity, during our earthly lifetime. He is our mediator. Jesus is holy and righteous and pure. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Is it okay if we look through a bunch of scripture this morning? If you don't like scripture, I'm sorry. Jesus loves scripture. He wrote it. He is living and breathing scripture. 1 Peter, and so we're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. This is what the Bible says. But like the Holy One, that's Jesus, but like the Holy One, not buddy, not my pal, dude, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves to the best of your ability. And some of your behavior on your good days. The scripture says, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Verse 16, same passage. Because it is written, you believers, church, individuals, Bob, Sue, Carl, Tony, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Because we're his children, we're his sons and daughters of the Most High, called to be like him. The Bible actually talks a lot about people, about us, about our conduct, our actions, our words, our lifestyle, our habits, and our private life. You know, here's a weird thought. My private life is very public in heaven. My private life, very public to all of heaven. There's a happy thought. Yeah, I'm just so thankful that all of me is not shown every Sunday. Father, let's have the Tom show again. This should be entertaining for the people. And all my ugly thoughts, all my judgy, all my bad attitudes thrown up on the screen. I'd rather it have happened now than go in heaven unrepented of. But I still don't want it on Sunday morning. And in Psalm 34, Becca referenced it this morning. There's a phrase in the Bible that happens repeatedly that you don't hear a lot about in church life. You don't hear a lot about, I don't hear a lot about in Christianity. It's called the fear of the Lord.
Right. Yes.
Anybody ever heard that phrase, the fear of the Lord? Right smack dab. It's right smack dab in Psalm 34. The fear of the Lord. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm scared of him? Scared? Does it mean I'm afraid? Oh my gosh, he's going to kill me. He's going to slay me. Many Christians, that's their understanding growing up. He's gonna thwack me once because I'm such a goofball. I'm doing the stupid again. He's going to kill me. He's going to smoke me. No, that's not a dad. But the fear of the Lord, it has this word reverence, which again is not common vernacular for many of us, for most of us maybe. We don't talk about reverence in our normal verbal linguistic repertoire during the week. Reverence. Awe, A-W-E. And it, all those words, you know, there's so many words that can encapsulate those words and describe them better. But it is honor, respect, reverence, the fear of the Lord. Let me talk more about it next week. Proverbs 16:6 says this. Proverbs 16:6 in the New American Standard. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity, sin, falling short, missing the mark. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, paid for, covered. Yes. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity, sin is atoned for, paid for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Maybe you're like me. Don't raise your hands. I'll raise my hand. I'll do this for the people that want to, should, maybe could relate. Anybody ever struggle with temptation? I saw that hand. Temptation's never the problem. Jesus was tempted in all things, but did not sin. That's what the Bible says. Temptation's not the problem. It's giving in to temptation is the challenge. Not being tempted. That's common. That's typical. That's normal in this life. The problem is giving in to temptation and acting out those natural impulses that are ungodly, unholy. How do I overcome sin? The Bible says this, by the fear of the Lord. What do I do? This is my early GBH. How do I get out of this sin that's my addictive personality, my behavior? How do I? The Bible has one thing that we can do. It's by the fear of the Lord. One keeps away from evil. Do I have any understanding of it? Do I have any desire for it? Do I have any want to leave a life of sin? Those things that just cause destruction in my life and the wake behind me, the relationships and the people behind me. How can I get free? I might want to start with having an understanding of the fear of the Lord. NIV, same verse, says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. It's avoided by the fear of the Lord. I don't have to indulge. I don't have to give in to acting out on those temptations. I am off, and I don't say this with a badge of honor or arrogance or pride, simple fact, I'm off all social media, as I think most would describe social media. I find it unhelpful, raises my blood pressure, raises my ugly pressure. I'm not on social media of any kind, aside from news, and I try and avoid that at all costs too. But my wife likes the news, so I like her, so I'm with her. Last reference, Buttercup. And there's a proliferation of information that we find in the news and in social media. Something that happens in the Philippines, something that happens in Tibet is instant news across the world. And we're so in touch, so many of us, so in touch with all the craziness that's happening around the world. The atrocities, the violence, the horrific things. It's shocking, it's horrible. police being attacked, and people applaud police being attacked. Charlie Kirk gets shot, murdered, and people are applauding and saying, wonderful, great that that man died. And you're just like, I'm just appalled at so much of the evil in our culture. Wicked, evil deeds done against people. It's just pure evil. This week, I'm going to go real short on this just for time. This week, on Wednesday, we have four children, and our youngest daughter contacted me, freaked out. There was a professional, and I mean professional, scam that was being propagated against her. It was two or three people acting like St. Charles police officers. Right here, a mile away from this building. And freaking her out. She thought she was going to jail, and it was all a scam. Whole thing a scam. It was professional, it was developed, they had so much information about my daughter's life. Wow. To add credibility. I won't go into it because we don't have time. The amount of information, because I was standing there for a good part of it listening. It was unbelievable, the information they had about her. Details to add credibility to what they were doing. Fortunately, she avoided the scam. Thursday, next day, it happened to Randy and I.
What?
Our bank. I got a text on our, well, my phone's over there. And the text thread that my bank, First National, I just made that up, First National says, Tom, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know, 10 times a year. And so I got a text from my bank, and it said, boom, 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 boom. You're being scammed, $1,000, I think was the thing. And it was from my bank, on the thread from my bank. They knew what money I had spent that day. They said, sorry, honey, last reference. You spent $12.52 at McDonald's this morning at 10 a.m., and this is the bank calling me now, the scammers. I'm like, yes, I did. And then you got $14 in gas in Litchfield, Illinois, at a Huck's or whatever. And I'm like, yes, I did. And they proceeded to tell me how I had spent my money that day. How did they get this information? That's how detailed. It was just crazy. It was just scammers out to destroy us. And they did a fairly wonderful job of messing up some of our life. You think there is evil in the world. And it was meant to not just take money from us, but to destroy my peace, to destroy my soul. My daughter, don't mess with my kids. And the very next day, less than 24 hours, same thing but different happened to us. And I think the devil, the evil one, our enemies, don't play fair, don't play nice. They are unholy. It was subterfuge at its best. It was brilliant what they were doing, the police and the bank. It was brilliant. Totally different groups of people, I think. I don't know. Deception, lies. I had a good friend of ours, lost his entire life savings in the last 4 months. Somebody scammed him. And he had a lot of money, a lot of wealth, gone. One click of a button. Here's the challenge. I expect the world to be evil, I really do. Because dogs bark. Yeah. Let me say that nicer. Cats meow. Cows moo. I expect the world to act like that. That's what they do. But what I don't expect is to find it in the church. As sons and daughters of the Most High, I expect the church community to look very different. Holy, righteous, humble, teachable, just like Jesus. And I look at, and I get challenged because I've been a Christian for 47, 48 years, and I still get so distraught on the inside when I see the sin in the church. Big names, and many of you have been around for a while, just over the last couple of years, the big name preachers, just lives imploding, decades of hiding, it's just kind of imploding. And the world loves it. Because the world says, you're no different than us. And in all honesty, in some ways, they're true. They're right. But Jesus is coming back for a pure and a spotless bride. And I can't do anything about Floyd in Abilene, Texas, or wherever. But I can do something about me. The only person I can do anything about is me. And his presence, honestly, if I'm connected with him, if his presence means anything, it means I'm changing. It means I'm becoming soft of heart. It means I'm growing in humility. I'm growing in teachability. Because his presence means something. And if I'm not changing, it's not his fault. What's going on in the inside of me? If I'm still allowing so much sin to dominate me. So don't get condemned. That's what the enemy does. But I do want to get challenged by Tom's bad attitudes, by Tom's irritability, or how I speak to people, or my judgment. How am I doing with the presence of heaven that I so long for? Is it changing me? Does my marriage look different now, or am I still blaming my spouse for the challenges of my marriage? What about me? I can't change my spouse. I've tried. Say that in jest. And Jesus just looks at me and says, Tom, what about you? Why don't you work on the only person you really can is you, me. His presence has got to do something. It's got to have some change. If it's real, his presence, and if I'm really connected with him, I will be growing in holiness. I'm not going to be perfect until I see him. I will not be. But am I growing to be like him? And so many Christians, oh, Jesus is coming back at any moment. I think he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. I think that's the Bible comments on that, somewhere around Revelation 19. I could be wrong. And I look at the body, and I look at my own body, and I'm like, I think we have some work to do. And the only thing I can do is me. I can't continue throwing rocks at the bride. Help me, Jesus, to come to grips with the lack of holiness in my own life. So what can keep me from being stupid? So what can help me from being stupid? And what can help me from doing stupid? Love for Jesus, and a healthy fear of the Lord. Reverence for the Lord. Here's a definition for reverence. In a biblical context, reverence is a profound, worshipful awe and deep respect for God's holiness and majesty, often expressed as the fear of the Lord. It is an inward attitude of humility and trust in God's authority and power, leading to an outward expressions of humble worship, moral conduct, and obedient submission to his word and will. What is reverence? That's part of it. Something that happens here that changes the external of my world. But it starts on the inside. Reverence for Jesus. Healthy fear of the Lord. It keeps me from evil. It keeps me from sin. From being deceived. Those little sins that we have in our lives. What little sins? Gossip. Those little white lies. Well, it's just a little white lie. Being married to a truth teller, that doesn't go far and fast in my home. Little sends, not honoring and respecting my spouse. Little sins, a little swearing. How I honor Jesus with my money, little sins. A little making fun of people at times. Jesus, help me. A little making fun of people at times, but just the weird people. Anybody ever think that? You shouldn't, but you can get in line with me. It's not okay. Those little sins. It's okay to make fun of those people because they're just weird. They're strange. Those people that are different than me, those people are also made in the image of God. Yeah. And I'm making fun of people that he loves just as much as me. They're just different than me. Here's the last little sin. Speaking maliciously or even just unkind about those people who believe different than me. Speaking maliciously or even just unkind about those people who believe differently than me. And those people might be political parties that think different than me. Other religions, different ethnicities. I so appreciate one of the things Dana said recently, I think it was in her message, was people aren't my enemy. It's the spirit behind them. But as Christians, we want to personalize it and make those people my enemy. No, it's the deception that lies behind what those people are purporting. Psalm 34, verse 11 to 19. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length? Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Tom, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and is not the perfect, but towards the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the Lord. Let the Lord do what he's going to do. He honestly doesn't need my help. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near the opinionated. The Lord is near the arrogant. The Lord is near to all those people who think like me. Nope. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Is his presence having any effect on me? What's the condition of my heart? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The fear of the Lord. Gosh, I've got so much material. Maybe next week. Great, but how? The fear of the Lord. Reverence. And just this bit, we looked at a definition of reverence earlier. What's the difference between respect and reverence? We didn't look at earlier. What's the difference between respect and reverence? Respect is a general feeling or regard for someone's character or position. I respect your position. I respect your character. While reverence is deeper, more profound feeling of awe and worship. Respect is shown through courtesy and consideration, whereas reverence involves profound awe, love, and devotion. Lord, help my life to be one of reverence towards you, King Jesus. So great. How do I begin moving towards fear of the Lord? How do I begin moving towards a reverential heart, a reverential inner world that the Lord can partner with and come alongside? How do I become that great, but how? How do I do that? First off, my words. How can I begin stepping towards fear of the Lord? My words. Proverbs 10:19 says this, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. When there are many words, for all you talkers, like myself, when there are many words, transgression, sin, is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Psalm 141:3, the Bible says this. Again, how can I move towards fear of the Lord? My words. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So the first thing moving towards a fear of the Lord, my words. Second is my actions. I'm going to read this from the Message. Galatians 5:19-22. Galatians 5:19-22. I have it in the New American, but I want to read it out of the Message just for us right now. Galatians 5:19-22. Just listen to these words. How do I move towards fear of the Lord? My actions. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get my own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Ugh. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. I could elaborate on that, but I won't. Magic show religion. I could say so much about that. We'll move on. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. Here's a powerful one out of the Galatians 5. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Save the other one, GBH, for next week. We're going to worship. And so my plea for myself is, according to Scripture, out of Psalm 34 and throughout the Word of God, is a healthy fear of the Lord. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of Him. Doesn't mean I'm scared of Him. But I have a reverential life because of Him. I watch my words. I watch my actions. I take care of the only person I have any influence over or I can control might be myself on my best day. A fear of the Lord, which brings His presence. It calls His presence in like a landing strip for an airplane coming into a runway in the midst of a storm. Fear the Lord calls in the presence of God. Reverential, sweet, kind respect towards Him that on the outside shows towards people. Can we all stand, please? We're going to worship. We're going to conclude in just a few minutes. So maybe you, like me, I'm putting this together. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me. I don't beat myself up. but I am aware of my need to change in so many areas. I don't beat myself up, but I do raise my hand and say, Lord Jesus, help me. I want to be more like him and less like old Tom. And the best place, first place, and the last place, and in between, is just get into his presence. And he loves me so much, he's faithful to show me. Tom, the way you spoke to your son. Tom, that attitude towards that person. How you spend your money. Jesus, I just want to worship you. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to show me. That I can have a 360 view of my life and not just a blinders perspective on how I'm doing compared to Carl and Cletus. Can we just worship just for a few minutes? Just invite the presence of God in and just love him because he loves you. Forget to call the worship, prayer team up. But I'm not going to forget today. Just stay where you're at, prayer team, please. Instead of having the prayer team come up and people come up to get prayed for right now, we'll do that in a few minutes. I just felt the Lord is impressed. Let's just do business right where you're at. Jesus is our mediator, the scripture says. He's the one that represents us to the Father. And he's listening to you right now. He's listening to me right now. So I would encourage you, if anything touched your heart this morning, where you know you need some change on the inside, just right now in the midst of worship, in the midst of the potential for presence, just do business with him right now, right where you're standing. If you need help, ask him for help. If you need help for resisting sin that you've given into 10,432 times, he's available right now for help. He wants to free you, because that's what he does. Jesus deals in honesty and transparency. And reality. He knows where you're at better than I know where I'm at. Just right where you're at right now, just where you need help, just ask him right now for help. And then the end of your sentence, Lord, I repent. I change. I choose to walk away. I choose to be different. I choose not to make that my lifestyle, my addiction anymore. I want to lay it down right now. Just do business with Jesus right now, please. I'm going to. best things, I just want to say, Jesus never accuses. Jesus never attacks, ever. But he is intent and committed to bring freedom. Because that's what he's called us to, is freedom. So choose Jesus this morning. Choose freedom this morning. And then let's, as it says in Galatians 5, let's walk in it. Let's keep in step with the Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5. Let's stay in step with him. And if you need help, reach out to a friend who's probably free in the area that you're struggling in. So many people reach out to folks struggling with the same thing. Reach out to somebody who's free in that area. And listen. Stop talking, but listen. So if you were dismissed, if you need to go, want to go, would like to go, we're dismissed. But if you just want to linger and worship, please do so. Have an amazing week. God bless you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.